Welcome to the show. You are listening to The Fighter's Take, and my name is Hollywood Joe Tussing. I will be your host as always, and on today's show, we will be talking UFC 231, Max Holloway taking on Brian T-City Ortega, an outstanding co-main event, Joanna Jędrzejczyk champion, stepping up to 125 pounds to take on Valentina the Bullet Shevchenko. We have a friend of mine, Marco Simmons, a pro 145-pound fighter, has been training with Valentina for this camp, helping her get ready to take on Joanna champion. He's going to call in, give us a little bit of an inside look at Valentina's camp, make a prediction or make a pick for that fight, and we will take a look at the odds for the rest of the main card. Today's show will be brought to us by MyBookie. MyBookie is where I'm getting all of these odds for today's show, and they're also going to do a little something for you. Head over to MyBookie, sign up for an account, and they are going to give you a 50% bonus on your first deposit. So if you use the promo code FIGHT1000, that's FIGHT1000, MyBookie will give you 50% bonus on your first deposit. So we have UFC 231, the second attempt at Max Blessed Holloway versus Brian T-City Ortega. This fight was supposed to happen a couple months ago, but Max Holloway was pulled due to some medical issues, started slurring his words in some of the interviews, and was unable to make it to the scales, was unable to pass his medicals. So the fight was postponed. Brian T-City Ortega finally gets his crack at the 145-pound title. We also have the co-main event, Joanna Jędrzejczyk taking on Valentina Shevchenko, the former 115 women's champion. Joanna Jędrzejczyk, Joanna champion, is going to step up to 125 pounds to take on an old foe, one of her kickboxing rivals. She is actually 0-2 against Valentina Shevchenko in kickboxing. So now they're going to do it inside the octagon. And we will get a call-in from a friend of mine. Marco Simmons has been a part of Valentina Shevchenko's camp, getting ready for Joanna champion. He will give us a call and give us an inside look at Valentina's camp, make a pick for that fight. We'll also look at the other fights on this main card. Gunnar Nelson, Oliveira, Santos Manoa, Bochniak, Dawodu. It's going to be an outstanding main card at UFC 231. So the main card of UFC 231 kicks off with Hakeem Dawodu taking on Kyle Crash Bochniak. Hakeem Dawodu has had two fights in the UFC. He is 8-1. His UFC debut was just an outstanding performance by Danny Hendry. He caught Dawodu with a beautiful punch that dropped him to his back and then locked up an outstanding high elbow guillotine and submitted Dawodu at the beginning of the first round in Dawodu's UFC debut. Dawodu came back in his second fight, fought Austin Arnett, a really good striking performance by Hakeem Dawodu. So he is now 1-1 in the UFC, 8-1 in his UFC or in his MMA career. All of his other fights coming in the World Series of Fighting. An outstanding striker, not outstanding on the ground, just a basic ground game out of Dawodu. But his striking is very crisp, an outstanding kickboxer. And he is taking on Kyle Bochniak. Bochniak is 8-3, and he has kind of burst into the MMA consciousness of like the more casual fan with his outstanding fight against Zabit Magomedsharipov that was on April 7th of 2018. It was just an outstanding fight on the Khabib versus Iaquinta card. Kyle Bochniak has had six fights in the UFC, or five fights. This will be his sixth fight in the UFC. He's 2-3, and he opened up his UFC career with a decision loss to Charles Rosa, then got a decision win, then a decision loss, then a decision win, and then a decision loss. So Kyle Bochniak really needs a definitive win right now to get himself on track. He had an outstanding performance against an extremely feared opponent in Zabit Magomedsharipov. Zabit was just tearing through everybody, and his fight with Kyle Bochniak has got to go down as one of the Fight of the Year candidates. That last round was just crazy. Bochniak really is a true savage inside of the ring. the way he'll take a shot and just keep coming forward. He has an outstanding chin, and he's got really good boxing as well. I think that he is going to give Dawodu problems in the second and third round. Dawodu did very well with his striking in his second fight, but it seemed like he started to slow down as the fight went on. Kyle Bochniak does not slow down, and he is an extremely heavy pressure fighter. I am actually going with the underdog in this fight. The odds on this one has Kyle Bochniak a plus 145 to Hakeem Dawodu's minus 170, the over-under at 2.5 rounds. I'm thinking Kyle Bochniak, possibility of finally getting a stoppage inside of the octagon. He has very tight boxing. His jab is really powerful, and his straight right hand is powerful too. So if Dawodu comes straight forward with his kickboxing approach like he does, or like he did in his last fight, I think he might have some problems against Bochniak. I know that if Bochniak is able to get it to the ground, he should be able to control the top position. So I am thinking that it's going to be a three-round decision for Bochniak with a possible submission by Kyle Bochniak by dropping Hakeem Dawodu and then finishing up with a submission somewhat like the first fight went for Hakeem against, what's that guy's name, Danny Henry, which was an outstanding submission, outstanding guillotine that he caught Dawodu with. Dawodu tried to scramble, but he just couldn't get away. So for this first fight, I just have to go with Kyle Bochniak. I love his fighting style, and it doesn't look like he has quit in him. There was spots in the Hakeem Dawodu fight in his second fight with Austin Arnett that he looked somewhat frustrated. And I think that's something that Kyle Bochniak will definitely be able to do, is frustrate Dawodu on the feet, because Kyle Bochniak does not care to take a shot to give one. So I'm going with Kyle Bochniak, hopefully by TKO stoppage, but I'm thinking he'll get the three-round decision over Hakeem Dawodu. And that will take us to the second fight on the main card, Oliveira taking on Gunnar Nelson. So in this fight, we have Alex Oliveira taking on Gunnar Nelson. Oliveira 19-5, Gunnar Nelson 16-3. Gunnar Nelson strikes like Conor McGregor, but grapples like Damian Maia. Well, not quite like Damian Maia, but he did go to a decision with the most feared grappler in the UFC, Damian Maia. I don't know, that title is quickly getting crept up on by Brian T-City Ortega, but Gunnar Nelson is an outstanding grappler. He's an outstanding stand-up fighter, and he's taking on another outstanding, just very well-rounded fighter in Alex Oliveira. Both of these guys are finishers, and the over-under in this fight at a round and a half shows that very rarely do these guys take it to the judges, and that's the kind of fighting styles that I like. We have Gunnar Nelson at a minus 125, Alex Oliveira at a plus 105, almost a pick'em, and the over-under minus 105, minus 115 for the round and a half over-under. In this fight, it's hard to pick against a guy as gritty as Alex Oliveira. Gunnar Nelson just now coming off of a loss to Santiago Ponzinibbio, who is streaking at the moment, but he stopped Gunnar Nelson by KO in the first round. And if Alex Oliveira is able to put a good right hand on Gunnar Nelson, he has a possibility of doing the same. Alex Oliveira is very powerful for this weight class, and he is very crafty on the ground. I don't think that Gunnar Nelson will have such an easy time of taking Alex Oliveira's back like he has done with a lot of his other opponents, like Brandon Thatch, or who else has he RNC'd? Gunnar Nelson has a ton of rear naked chokes on his record. I don't think he'll have such an easy time of taking the back of Alex Oliveira. So I expect there to be a bit of a striking battle in this fight. And I'm going to go with the slight underdog in Alex Oliveira on this fight. I really do think that Alex Oliveira has more power than Gunnar Nelson. And just now coming off of a KO loss, I don't know if Gunnar Nelson's going to be gun-shy. Yes, he is a striker, but it's a different ball game when somebody shuts your lights out. So I'm going with the underdog, Alex Oliveira, over Gunnar Nelson. But I think it'll probably happen a little bit later in the fight, possibly towards the end of the second round, into the third round, if Alex Oliveira is able to get the stoppage. So, yep, I'm going with the Cowboy by, I'll say early third round stoppage over Gunnar Nelson. So we are still waiting for a call from my buddy Marco Simmons. Give us a little bit of inside information on the Valentina Shevchenko. And while we wait, we could take a second and head over to MyBookie. You want to be a part of one of the fastest growing hobbies in the United States? Well, sports betting is now legal. You can head over to MyBookie and bet on sports. Get your skin in the game. You can bet on some college football, maybe the Super Bowl. Put some money down on some of the fights on December 8th. We got the return of John Bones Jones coming back. You can finally put some money back down on the greatest fighter of all time when he returns to the cage against Alexander Gustafsson. All of that you can do with a little bit of free money as well. MyBookie will give you 50% bonus when you head over to their site, sign up for an account, use the promo code FIGHT1000. That's FIGHT1000. And they will give you a 50% bonus. That's all you got to do. Head over to MyBookie. FIGHT1000 is the promo code. And they will give you a 50% bonus on your first deposit. So with our third fight on the card, on the main card at least, we get Thiago Moreta Santos taking on Jimmy Poster Boy Manoa. Thiago Santos, 19-6. Manoa is 17-4. Jimmy Manoa, the plus 175 underdog to Thiago Santos, minus 210. The over-under at a minute or at a round and a half, because both of these guys, just like the last fight, are finishers. I think Thiago Santos has gone to the judges three times in his career, maybe four times, and it's probably just as few, maybe even less, for Jimmy Manoa. Yeah, Manoa's only seen the judges twice, and that was with the same fighter against Jan Blachowicz. He went to a decision. But every other fight, he's going out on a shield. He's currently coming off of two losses, getting KO'd by Volkan Ozdemir, and then losing that decision to Jan Blachowicz. He beat Corey Anderson by KO, KO'd OSP, got KO'd by Anthony Johnson, got KO'd or TKO'd by Gustafsson. He beat Ryan Jimmo, the late Ryan Jimmo, by TKO, but that was Jimmo messed his leg up. TKO'd Debate, TKO'd Kyle Kingsbury. So this one, it would be pretty shocking for it to go to a decision. Both of these guys are throwing as hard as they can, and I don't know if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing for Jimmy Manoa in this fight. Because I think that he's bringing the smaller gun to this gunfight. Thiago Santos looks like he's swinging that hammer that he's got tattooed on his chest with everything he throws. And some of his KOs have been just completely brutal. It really is crazy the amount of power that this guy can generate when the body kick that he gave Anthony Smith. But he has been KO'd recently as well. Was KO'd by David Branch in April. So he's not too far off of getting his bell rung as well. This is a really tough fight for me to pick. I'm a fan of Thiago Santos just because he's just an all-out crazy person inside of the cage. He's coming in there to decapitate people, and that's the type of fighting style I like. Jimmy Manoa is a tighter boxer, but he's also throwing super heavy leather. This one's hard to pick for me. It's really tough. Do I give the plus 175 to Manoa, or is he going to fold under the power of Thiago Santos? This is one that I've been having a bit of a tough time picking between these two. I would take the under on this fight for sure. I see both of these guys trying to put it away in the first round. But if it makes it to the second round, I would see Thiago Santos probably having a little bit better cardio than Jimmy Manoa. But I would expect it to somehow be finished by the third round. I don't expect either of these guys to let it go to the judges in this fight. I would expect this to probably be the fight that gives us KO of the night. And I'm just going to have to go with Thiago Santos. He has more weapons than Jimmy Manoa does. And Yeah, I just can't bet against the guy that kicks like he could kick down a light post. So I'm going with Thiago Santos in the third fight on the main card, which will take us to the co-main event. And holding on the line right now, just letting me get through that right there, is my buddy Marco Simmons. Marco Simmons, a pro MMA fighter, has been training with Valentina Shevchenko for her last couple of camps, trains with her a few days a week, and he's going to give us a little bit of insight into Valentina Shevchenko's fight versus Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Shevchenko a minus 340 to the comeback at plus 270 for Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Are you there, Marco?
Yo, what's up, Joe?
Hey, what's up, Marco? How you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty well, man. Thanks for asking.
So I was always checking your Instagram. You're one of my favorite up-and-coming fighters. I've actually, first time I met Marco, he was 16 years old and came over to my gym with a friend of his and rolled with us. He was a high school wrestler back then, and I knew there was something special about Marco, his technique, his strength. I knew he was going to be a good up-and-coming fighter, and here we are about 8 years later, and he is one of the main training partners for Valentina Shevchenko, along with a couple of my other friends, Jason Andrada. I seen a picture of him with you and Valentina. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into your training with Valentina. What are you, a pro now?
Yeah, right now I'm a pro. Like you said, I kind of started my martial arts journey around 16 years old. I first started with wrestling, and then at 19, I started training at Wanderlei Silva's gym, and I've been there ever since. I also had my first amateur fight at 19 years old, and I turned professional when I was 24. Right now I'm 3-0 as a pro, and since pretty much the beginning of this year, I've been training with Valentina, for the fight she was supposed to have with Nico, but that ended up falling out. And then for this camp for Joanna, I've pretty much been there the last 2 months, about 3 days a week, sparring and training with her.
And how did you fall into that? Did like your coach or manager get you into that, or is it just connections you have through other friends?
Yeah, it was my coach, my jiu-jitsu coach, Leandro. I think he got a message from her coach, Pavel, about them like just coming in to use the gym for space to train. And then one thing led to another. Me and my other buddy, Robert Chow, it was me, Robert Chow, and Jason, who have been like her main training partners or whatever. But yeah, it started out at Juan's. Valentina asked if I could train with her, and then that was it. She liked our sparring, how we were rolling and everything, and then they just kept asking me back. And now I'm kind of one of her main training partners, which is pretty cool.
That's awesome, man. I don't know. Do you know Bryce Harley? He's another one of the Tough Enough alums.
Yeah,
so Bryce is like Claudia Gadelha's main training partner. You're training with Valentina. It's like I'm over here on the sidelines watching all my friends get in all this work, man. So you're 3-0 as a pro. All of your wins are stoppages, correct?
Yeah, all by submission as a pro.
Yeah, man, your ground game is super legit, but you got mad power in your overhand right. I've seen you drop a few guys with that.
I do.
So what's it like? You're a 135, 145-pound male fighter, up and coming. What's it like training with, the top of the heap 125-pound female fighter? I mean, Valentina Shevchenko, she is an extremely good kickboxer. I think she was 39-2 or 49-2 in kickboxing, or 47-2.
Something like that. She had a great record.
Yeah,
multiple time champion.
She's extremely good on the ground. So, strength wise, like, how does somebody like that? Because I know there's always questions about like female fighters and male fighters. How does that compare to? Does she have the power to rock you, all those things? Can we expect her to have the power to rock Joanna in this fight?
Absolutely. If Valentina connects with any type of spinning kick, it's going to be a long night for Joanna, or pretty much anybody, to be honest. For a female fighter, she's definitely... I've trained with a few. I've trained with Paige VanZant before, like years ago, before she was ever in the UFC. Same, I've rolled with Cyborg. Valentina is just very explosive, and She does not stop moving at all, and for a female, she's very strong. So it's some good work. And as a 45er male, as a pro 45er male, you know, that's hard to come by when it comes to females. So I just feel like Valentina is a unique woman for sure when it comes to MMA.
She seems like she has a lot of grappling strength. She's got pretty big lats. Yeah. She's got big shoulders and stuff. So it seems like in the clinch, from top position, that she'd be super heavy.
Oh, for sure. She's got a strong clinch, strong Muay Thai clinch, good trips from the clinch. She's got good knees, of course, good control. And she's smart, like, with her hips. Great takedown defense, really good awareness of where she's at in the clinch and how you can take her down. She's able to realize that and defend very well. And that's pretty uncommon in women MMA fighters, for sure.
And that's something I'm excited about in this fight, is both her and Joanna both have really high fight IQs. They transition very well. But I'm interested to see if Joanna is able to deal with somebody that has very similar skill set but better ground game and is far stronger, because I really don't think Joanna will be even in the same ballpark as far as grappling strength and clinch strength. So,
yeah, I agree as well. Like, when it comes to the grappling part, I feel like Joanna could possibly get tossed around. I feel like the only way Joanna could possibly win this fight is by decision, by maybe outpointing Valentina, but I just don't see that happening. Valentina is going to be too ferocious in the stand-up as well, which might lead to them getting on the ground, and I feel like Valentina can get a submission before five rounds is over.
Okay, so let's look at that. We have a minus 340 for Valentina Shevchenko. We have the plus 270 on the comeback for Joanna. If it gets stopped, what round would you call it for Valentina Shevchenko? Do you think she can stop Joanna?
I do. More so by submission than by a TKO or anything like that, just because we haven't seen many. I mean, obviously, Valentina has the power to stop Joanna by TKO, but you just haven't really seen TKOs with her in many of her fights.
Yeah.
Obviously, she's got a couple submissions, and all of her decision wins, she just outstrikes everybody.
Yeah, by far.
On the ground, I can see Valentina submitting Joanna for sure.
Okay, so
maybe in the third round, you know, they're into the fight a little bit. Valentina puts some pressure on her in the first two rounds, and Joanna gets a little frustrated, maybe a little tired, because she hasn't felt that pressure before in a fight, and she can give up a submission in the third round. I could see that happening.
So we have an over-under at 4.5 rounds. The under 4.5 is a plus 205. So if Valentina can get that third round submission, or even early in the fourth, that might be some good money right there. Parlay that with Valentina. Get some of your money back with that plus 205.
Yeah, for sure.
So, and that's where I'm going with this fight as well, Valentina Shevchenko. I love Joanna's pressure and her fighting style, and I just don't think any of that's going to work against Valentina in her MMA form. It's like she's leveled up from kickboxing into an all-new beast. So that's it. Marco's going with Valentina, possible third-round submission. I'm going to go with Valentina, I think probably the same third-round arm bar or arm triangle. She's super, super strong, but actually, I'll take away that armbar. I don't see her being on the bottom in this fight.
Yeah, me neither. But she can pull off an armbar for sure, I'll tell you that.
Sounds like you've been caught in one or two.
Oh, yeah, you know, it happens.
So with you, when is your next fight?
I'm looking to fight for FFC here at the Rio in Vegas in January. Hopefully, I can get on that card. If not, I'm actually working with Valentina's manager now, and he's trying to get me a fight for LFA pretty soon. So,
oh man, Legacy would be awesome.
In the next couple of months, yeah, man.
See you on Fight Pass.
So we'll see. Hell yeah.
Dude, that would be sweet. Okay, and then so I know I remember back a couple fights ago. One of them I caught. You had you were doing something for a kid named Mitchell who had DMD. Are you still working with the DMD stuff?
Yes, I am. DMD. You know, do a little spiel on DMD real quick. It's called Duchenne muscular dystrophy, just a different form of muscular dystrophy, but it mainly affects the heart, and it's really hard to come by in girl genes, so mainly boys get it, right? And the lifespan, the average lifespan, I'd say, is like 15 years old.
Wow.
Most of them pass away either before then. Some, there are some that live until about 30 or whatnot, but it's very rare. And I came across this DMD stuff about 4 years ago because my mom, you know, she likes to scroll around on Facebook and whatever, and she fell upon a story about this kid, Mitchell, who passed away, and he had DMD, and Mitchell's dad is a writer, among a whole bunch of other things, and he had a whole page just in memory of Mitchell, and would always write stories about his life with him and whatnot, and has, you know, like 200,000 followers on the page and whatever. And then my mom asked me, you know, if I could look into it, and I did. You know, long story short, I fell in love with Mitchell's dad and his family and all that, and we've hung out many a times. He's been to many of my fights. He's actually doing a documentary on me and,
oh, that's,
you know,
really
how
cool.
And why I fight for DMD and all that. We're still working on that. It'll probably be done in the next couple of fights. And yeah, he has his own foundation created in honor of his son. And, you know, with that, I've met so many other DMD families, and that I never even heard of the disease until pretty much my mom told me about it, because she's the one that found the story. And yeah, ever since then, I've been just fighting in every single boy's name who suffers from that, you know, give them a little bit of inspiration just to keep pushing, even though it's a very hard thing to overcome. Yeah, and I have a website as well, MarcoSimmonsMMA.com, and I have a whole bunch of merchandise on there. Hats, shorts, training shorts, sweaters, since it's, you know, winter right now. And part of the proceeds all go to Mitchell's dad's foundation, which is the Mitchell's Journey Foundation. And yeah, I'll continue to fight for DMD until I can no longer fight anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen some of the videos. I've seen some of the kids that actually have DMD. I mean, they're completely wheelchair bound and stuff. I've seen them out at your fight and things like that. And it really is. This is something that I've seen you like really grow into. I saw the first when you first met Mitchell, and then now to see what you do for every single fight and how it really is like a base of why you're doing this, or one of the main things that keeps you hungry and motivated, because that's the hardest part. I mean, I know it just like
100%.
You do. Training is so grueling, and that's where we're beating our bodies down. And to have a friend like you that does something so selfless just to put the word out and try to shine some light on something. There's thousands of diseases that people can have, you know, and some are worse than others. And this is a very, very tough one that takes kids' lives very quickly. I mean, 15-year-old mortality rate, or a 15-year-old lifespan is nothing. So I really love the way that you give something out of yourself and you do all that you can to give, like, to see this stuff get into the LFA and be on Fight Pass and then eventually in the UFC, because I know that you will be in the UFC probably one, maybe two fights. I can't see how they could deny you, man. If you haven't seen Marco Simmons fight, hop over on YouTube when you get a chance. Search Marco Simmons MMA, and you will see this kid just folding people up with his overhand right and then submitting cats with just vicious rear naked chokes. Your top game is super powerful. And I think Valentina is lucky to have somebody that has the background and the base that you do and everything that you've learned from Wand, as well as the heart and like the control and the emotional control that you have and things, so she can get the most out of her training from somebody that's going to give their all for her and not for yourself.
I appreciate that very much, man. Those are some kind words. You know,
like I said, man, the first time I met you, I knew you were going to make the big show, dude. I just did. From the moment that we rolled the first time, I knew you had something that most people don't.
Thank you. I also have something that some people don't, and which is a very, very good family who, you know, they push me and they always give me confidence, even though, you know, you fight too. You know, sometimes you battle your own demons. Are you good enough? This and that. And, you know, it's a lot easier when you got family just, you know, continuing to motivate you and push you. tell you to not give up ever. So that helps a lot.
That, yeah, and it really does, Ben. It, sometimes for, I mean, for GSP, lived in his parents' basement until he was 24. I mean, sometimes just having the solid family behind you and people that are going to believe in you when it gets tough is the is that extra little bit that pushes you over, that gets you in, you know?
100%.
But, dude, Marco, I don't want to take up any more of your time. I know you got your baby, and I know you got training later today and everything, but thank you so much for giving us
thank
a little
you.
Inside look into Valentina's camp. A little bit of look into what you do for the DMD Foundation and everything. And like Marco said, MarcoSimmonsMMA.com or what is it? Mitchell's Journey Foundation.
Mitchell's Journey Foundation.
Go over to Marco's site, pick up some swag, buy a t-shirt, help donate some money to these kids that are fighting something that is so much more difficult than any of the fighting that we ever do.
Absolutely.
Dude, thank you, Marco, so much. Marco's calling third round submission for Valentina Shevchenko. I'm thinking the same. Hopefully we get to talk to you again soon, Marco. Again, thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah, thank you as well, Joe. You have a good one.
You too, my friend.
All right.
All right, so it looks like we are in a consensus with that one. Me and Marco both see it kind of going the same way. I see Valentina getting herself a third round, late third round submission. That's what Marco sees as well, and he's got the closest eye on this situation with as close to their camp as he's been for the last few months. So again, thanks, Marco, for calling in. And that is going to take us to the main event, Brian Ortega versus Max Holloway, T-City taking on the Blessed One. But before we get into that, you ever sat at work and thought this day would be much better if there was like a college bowl game on or something? Well, you're in luck, because tis the season, it's bowl season, the most exciting time of the year, and MyBookie is going to do a little something-something for all of the college football fans out there. Head over to MyBookie and sign up for an account, and they are giving away 50% bonuses on everyone's first deposit. MyBookie offers 48-hour payouts, outstanding and helpful customer service, and that 50% deposit bonus like I just mentioned. That's how you get yourself a little bit of free money for that bankroll. Try to turn that little bundle of cash into a bowl of cash. So head over to MyBookie. Use the promo code FIGHT1000, FIGHT1000, and MyBookie will give you 50% bonus on your first deposit. Get over there, do that before December 8th, and you can throw some money down on this main event. One we were supposed to get way back in July, on July 7th, we were supposed to get Max Holloway taking on Brian T-City Ortega, but the weight cut seemed to really affect Max Holloway. People were saying that he could have had a stroke. There was all kinds of speculation. He was unable to pass the medicals and make it to the scale, so the fight was pulled and rebooked for this weekend, December 8th, T-City finally getting his crack at Max Blessed Holloway. So we get Brian T-City taking on Max Holloway, 14-0, taking on 19-3. This one's a pick'em, minus 110. Also a pick'em at the over-under at 3.5 rounds. Both of these guys are finishers. Brian T-City Ortega coming off the KO over Frankie Edgar, as well as a submission of Cub Swanson. He KO'd Clay Guida, submitted Brandao, KO'd Thiago Tavares. I mean, Brian T-City Ortega is what they would call a killer inside the octagon, and he is stepping in there with another certified killer, the man that defeated Jose Aldo twice back-to-back by TKO, Max Holloway. Also TKO'd Anthony Pettis, TKO'd Charles Oliveira. Just outstanding resumes by both of these fighters. The best fight that we've seen Conor McGregor before he lost to Khabib was from Max Blessed Holloway. There, they had an outstanding three-round decision fight. Lost a fight to Dennis Bermudez that I thought Max Holloway won that fight, but it was super close, as well as losing by triangle submission to Dustin Poirier way back in 2012, really early in his career. I think it was his first fight in the UFC. He lost to Dustin Poirier and then went on a 3-fight win streak, lost to Bermudez, lost to McGregor, and then has been super dominant since then, especially with the 2 TKO wins over Jose Aldo, who at one point was the pound-for-pound greatest fighter on the planet, the most dominant 145-pounder we had ever seen. Max Holloway was able to starch him twice and did the same to Anthony Pettis, a former 155-pound champion. So this will be just an amazing fight. We have an outstanding stand-up fighter with outstanding ground defense going against an outstanding ground fighter with good stand-up and good stand-up defense. Brian Ortega has power in his hands, but is like a vice when he hits the ground. If he can latch onto somebody's neck or their arm, he's probably going to take it home with them. So I know everybody's been waiting for this fight since July 7th, since Max Holloway was pulled from the card because of the medical issues. And now in his pre-fight interviews and the fight week interviews that he's doing right now, it seems that he's mumbling his words a little bit, that he could possibly be having some of these neurological symptoms that he did the first time. So I don't know if Max Holloway is going to make it to the scale. He's still real early into his weight cut. He still has 3 days to go. And if it was the weight cut and the dehydration and things that caused it the first time, are we going to see that again this time? Is Max Holloway just too big to be cutting the weight, to be going down to 145? As fighters age, they put on more muscle with all the training that we're doing, and it gets harder and harder to make the weight, to cut the weight, to make it to 145 pounds for Max Holloway. So could this be the end of his time at 145 pounds? Could he be basically forced by his own body to go up to 155 pounds? That'll be something that we have to watch for the next couple days, all the way up until fight day. If he's able to make it through medicals, make it onto the scale, then I think we'll have the fight finally in hand. And I'm going to have to go with, on the spot decision, I'm going with T-City Ortega. I mean, Max Holloway is an outstanding fighter, but if the weight cut last time had such an effect on his body, even if it doesn't have such a serious effect on it, on him this time, he is depleting his body to the point that it's having negative side effects. And I don't think there's a way for him to get around with that. I think he's just too big with the muscle that he has. I don't think he's had enough time to take off enough actual body weight to change how bad this weight cut is going to be for him within 3 or 4, maybe 5 pounds. So with that one thing that I know about the fight, I'm going with Brian T-City Ortega. His ground game is super lethal, and if Max Holloway gets sluggish or slow or tired at any point in this fight, Brian T-City will take advantage of that and end the fight. But I don't think it goes, it gets stopped before the 3.5 rounds for the over-under. I don't see Brian T-City being able to catch him with something early. I think it'll be something that happens late in the fight, because Max Holloway, his fight IQ is outstanding. So it's going to take that being tired and being compromised for Brian Ortega to get the slip on him and finish it out with what I think is going to be a rear naked choke. I think he's going to catch Max Holloway in a scramble and take his back and finish the fight by rear naked choke. So I'm going Brian T-City Ortega by RNC in the 4th or 5th round. That is the main card for UFC 231. We're going Bochniak, we're going Charles Oliveira, Santos, Valentina, and Brian T-City Ortega. All of these lines, you can find them over at MyBookie. You sign up for an account, they're going to match your first deposit by 50%. They're going to give you a 50% bonus on that first deposit. Puff up that bankroll a little bit. Throw some money down on some of these fights. Make it a little bit more exciting if that's how you feel. Maybe get yourself into the bowl game action over at MyBookie. Thank you so much to our sponsor, MyBookie. And thank you so much to our listeners. Really appreciate you guys stopping by. Until next time, this is Hollywood Joe Tussing. I'll talk to you soon.